Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach you your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people. We'll talk to
old people.
It would make us
people if we would just communicate. Good morning. This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suze Lynn McDonald. I am coming to you from amazing, sunny, hot, but beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Can't complain about the heat because one thing about it, you can go in the inside and cool off. But when you're cold, it takes a while to get you back where your body needs to be. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. If you would like to call in, the phone number is area code 347-324-5730. Again, the phone number is area code 347-324-5730. Well, we're going to jump in today because, as you know, before we do it, we want you to do one thing. I always say sit back, relax, get a cup of coffee. No, I don't want you to sit back today. I want you to actually pay attention and lean forward. Today we're talking, and we're going to have our own Dr. Phil, Judith Hilton, with us today, and Lady Kathy, who is my co-host. Can't wait to talk to her as well. But you know, we've been talking about healing the marriage, healing the family, that 1,000 generations will be blessed because of our endeavor. Today we're back on. This is our third session, but we didn't have the doctor in the house. So we're going to bring our doctor in. We're talking about unanger the marriage and heal the family to 1,000 generations. So I want us to go ahead and jump in, like I said, unanger the marriage and heal the family to 1,000 generations. What I'd like to do now is go ahead and bring in my co-host first and say good morning to her, and then we're going to move forward. Good morning, Lady Kathy, my friend, my sister. I mean, good morning. How are you?
I am well, Lady Susie. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm absolutely amazing. How could you not be with the sun shining on both sides of the street?
Both sides of the street. Amen. Every day. I'm so excited about the show today because we've been having some very candid conversations over the last couple shows about unangering the marriage. And we come from a perspective of a layperson and a person with experience. Today we have our own Dr. Phil, who will give us a clinical explanation and a spiritual guideline for the conversations, the topics that we've talked about in the last week. So this is going to be so fantastic. I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh, I am too. And I'm going to go ahead and I see we have another caller, area code 702-587-6430. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just say good morning to you, and then I'd like for you to, first of all, listen so you can catch up with us if you haven't been listening to the show. But bottom line being, good morning, caller, 702-587-6430. How are you? Okay, she's not talking yet. Anyway, good morning. I got my got our own Dr. Phil, which is Judith Hilton, on the line. Good morning, Judith.
Hi, good morning to you both. How are you all doing?
Good morning.
Awesome. We are excited to have you. I mean, we've been doing the dialogue. We've been getting calls. We're getting, I get the texts and the emails, and I kind of answer them and ask the questions as we go along. But we've been talking about fixing the marriage and the anger, the acid in your mouth that comes when a marriage breaks up or when there is an issue. And we've been talking about that, and we've been discussing it, but now we're bringing in the doctor, our doctor for you, and we're going to get the biblical principles, because also not only are you a pastor's wife, you are a professional, and we're going to let you talk about that, as well as we want you to make sure you talk about your book, that many can be blessed from just having that, because it's you speak from the point of view of all of us, but then you give us the clinical side as well. So again, we're talking today about unanger the marriage and heal the family to 1,000 generations. I think that I'm going to let you go ahead and give us a little bit of your credentials, and we're going to go from there.
Okay, my credentials. Well, I've done quite a bit of counseling with couples. As a matter of fact, just about every week I meet with couples who are going through planning to divorce, or couples who are entertaining the thought, or couples who are just being challenged. And I can tell you, over the past number of years as a pastor's wife, even before I was a former teacher, I remember, you know, hearing a lot of students would say their parents have strong marriages and it's going well, or I would hear of a lot of conflict in the home and it was affecting the student, and the student would come and share with me. And so, but it seems like for some reason it's even more magnified over the years. And I'm just amazed at how far we have gone away from the scripture as far as what the whole foundation of marriage is, and to build a solid generation for the next and for the next and for the next, as you say. And so I feel like I've quite a lot of experience in dealing with this area. And just to see the pain that it causes, and especially divorce. And that's why God said, I hate divorce. And that's why he said it. And now I understand even fully what that means after dealing with all these couples who have gone through it or who are entertaining the thought. And thank God we have graduated quite a few couples who have hung in there, you know, and some of them later on go on cruises and stuff together who thought they were never going to stay together. So that was definitely the Holy Spirit helping me and helping, giving them the wisdom to decide that it's better, it's easier to stay together than to be pulled apart. And there's just too much pain in divorce. But, you know, there's life after divorce, as I've always said. So that's kind of how I've, you know. And I'm trained in this area. You know, I've been a marriage and family therapist for a number of years. And also, I, as I said before, have quite a bit of experience in terms of just dealing with that in the ministry at the church. So I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, and we'll talk about your book at toward the end so that nobody will miss that, because they need to purchase this book. It's not just for first ladies. It's not just for pastor's wives. This could be your dictionary or your Bible-ette, not the Bible, but the Bible-ette, an extension of the Bible. Well, one of the questions that was posed to me, and it says, the question was, in previous shows, I heard your pain, and now I hear a change. You said, let's heal the marriage in a previous show, and we'll heal a nation. What's the first step to healing a marriage? That's first. And the second, that's broken. And then the second part of her question is, I don't want to go back into the abuse. So I'm going to let you start with those first, and we can go from there.
Okay. First of all, the ingredients for healing a marriage. The first ingredient I would say is that forgiveness. If two individuals are in a relationship, ladies, and one of them is even willing to try, it makes it even a little bit more possible. If both people are saying, I don't care, I want it to be over, then it's going to be difficult for healing to occur. So I'm taking it that both people, I'm thinking of a scenario of both people wanting to work at it, okay? That's one of the first steps of how healing will occur. And the first thing that they would need to do is acknowledge where they are at fault. And a lot of times we are quick to point the finger at the other party, and that's what keeps marriages apart, because they always see you are the reason, or they find a scapegoat, somebody else to point their finger at. And the easiest thing for us to do is to free ourselves of any responsibility. So the first thing is acknowledging that I have made a contribution to the failure of this relationship, this broken relationship. I've made a contribution. Both individuals are first willing to acknowledge that. And then secondly, they will say, what is it that, since I've made this contribution, what is it that I need to do about me to change me that will help to enhance this relationship? And if both the male and female or the couples decide that this is what we need to work on, I need to work on me in this particular area to find out what irks you. Because sometimes we say this thing, you know, you choose to behave this way. But we have to always remember that there's a trigger now that caused that behavior. Somebody said, I didn't cause you to behave that way. No, you chose to behave that way, but the person, somebody has to be a trigger. Because if you live by yourself, okay, you're living alone, there's so rarely any trigger that's going to cause you to get angry or get upset, because you're, you know, by yourself. So somebody had to trigger something in you. Now, your response could be Christ-like or like how the world would respond. So I would say to the couple that if you both decide that I am at fault, first of all, and we are going to do whatever I can do to change me or to change my behavior, then that's a very good step. Then the other step is that we are committing ourselves before the Lord to say, okay, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for where we have sinned against the other person, sinned against the person. Person says, the Bible says, if you have a sin, an ought against your brother, he who are spiritual need to be to try to restore the relationship. So even if the husband is 99% at blame and the wife feels she's only that, you know, a percent, 1%, you know, I've been in the right all along. I think that if you look at it that way, then it's going to be very, very difficult for that relationship to be restored, for the healing to occur. So we both have to acknowledge that we contributed. And then we leave it over to the Lord now to do the work in terms of the spiritual work that's going to be happening. As soon as you say, yes, Lord, we are willing to surrender. So surrendering to God is going to be very important. Lord, I give over my will, my desire, my plans, my dreams of this relationship, whatever it is, just give it over to God and say, Lord, I want to do everything in my power to help to make this work. And then, of course, the forgiveness. You have to say, honey, I'm sorry. I've hurt you. Please forgive me. And if that word is not, you know, people always talk about if you don't forgive, it's like somebody drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So if you say, forgive me, my dear, or my husband or my wife, or forgive me for wounding you. That is one of the big key ingredients to healing. Now, does it mean that forgive means forget? No, not necessarily. You might remember this thing, but you're not recalling, because the Bible says love keeps no record of wrong. So even though you know that the person have done this to ought against you, you're not keeping a record and retrieving and playing that record in your head constantly. You did this. You were because of this. I blame you because of this. And if you keep rehashing, that's what causes the rift in relationships. So forgiving and choosing at that moment when there's anger and upset and whatever to forget and not keep bringing up old stuff. It's like putting your hand in a garbage container and expecting you to bring your hand up and it's still clean. You're going to bring up all kinds of stuff, and it's going to soil you too. So you're going to be feeling a lot of the pain. So the healing comes with letting go. I'm going to let go. Now, I have to be careful when I say this, because there are some people who will say, well, this man or this woman has done me something so terrible. Here we have a situation right now with a pastor and his wife. I think they're in California. I'm not sure exactly the location. But the pastor is now a very well-known pastor, and he had, I guess his wife had an affair, and then he had an affair, and now the church is in chaos. And we really need to pray for this pastor and his family. I think it's Billy Graham's grandson. And I've been just weeping and on behalf of my husband and I, just really praying for them, because how many people have gotten hurt in the process. But if those people might say, oh, that could never be restored. But I'm telling you, when do the two people decide to forgive and to really know that God has forgiven them so many things, then it really is the beginning of the process for healing. And I know because of our time, I can't go into a lot of how, you know, to see that actually acted up, because I have a lot of illustrations that I could use of people that I've seen go through that same process of forgiving each other, and just to see the healing that occur, and for them to have a marriage today that's an example to so many others. People are literally calling on them for help, even though they had gone through, the husband, I think, or had an affair. And now that couple is so strong, and they are being used mightily for the Lord, even though they had gone through a brokenness. So so healing can occur, but we have to be willing to surrender our own wills over to God's will. And God's will is for us to be restored. I'm going to stop there and allow anybody to see.
Oh wow, that was sitting right then. I understand how when the apostles sat at the table with Jesus, not saying you Jesus, everybody don't say that. I didn't say that. But when you hear words that feed the spirit, a healthy word that's going to bring up a healthy fruit or a healthy vegetable, a healthy root in you, causing you to be, what else can you do but to hush and wait, listen, get knowledge, get wisdom, but most of all, getting godly understanding. We have caller 702-587-6430. Do you have anything to say? And then Lady Kathy, I'd like you. 587-6430. Okay, Lady Kathy, while we're waiting for that person, go ahead, please.
You know, that's a powerful, powerful message that you just released into the atmosphere, because a lot of times couples believe that once there's infidelity in the marriage, then the marriage is totally over. And I've heard from several psychologists, actually, that said that sometimes the marriage comes back stronger after there's been some type of indiscretion. Because a lot of times the couples don't realize there's a breakdown in the marriage in some area, communication, whatever. And then one of the parties go out and seek solace from the outside, and that essentially kind of wakes up the other partner and say, hey, wait a minute, I thought we were doing great, or were you serious about, you know, us having problems? And that really can open up the lines of communication, because nothing brings the conversation better than pain. And when you're in pain, speak from the abundance of your heart. And a lot of times women are silent and hold things in. And then when they have a release somewhere else, it wakes the man up. And, you know, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? I didn't know you were unhappy, or I didn't know, or vice versa with the man. But most times when that happens, if they're willing and able to work on the marriage, because the love is still there, and forgive, like you said, then the marriage can come back stronger. A quick testimony. I remember a time, probably about 10 years ago, my husband and I were having problems, and I was so miserable. I had just gotten here to Vegas a year or so to Vegas, and didn't know anybody, and the church family was more geared towards the pastor, and I was so miserable. And I began to, my relationship with God began to take a turn, and that really angered me, because that was all I knew as a single woman. And then I began to, I guess, still resentment. But short story, I began to contemplate going back home. Like, I want to go back home. You know, I'm alone here. And so we went to a revival one night, and the pastor called us out and said, you in the back, because we got there late and in the back, because I was like, I'm not feeling this. And so he said, come here. He said, God says you're going to have the strongest marriage on this side of the West Coast. and there's going to be so many people you're going to be able to minister to. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to be here.
Right.
Amen. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just said that.
And I tell you what, my husband and I recap that all the time now, because at the time we were probably both feeling the same way. I don't like you. I don't like you either.
Yes. Well, you know what?
Yes,
it's amazing here, listening to what you just said. I don't know if the other caller, when you want to just jump in, you got to say, just say, hey, excuse me, and then we're going to let you in. But on that same note of what you said, I want to pose to you, this is my question. You know, it's weird because it was like in my single life, like you said, Kathy, Lady Kathy, I would be able to talk to God, get an immediate response. When I got married, he didn't talk to me like he used to. And I'm not going to lie. I was like, okay, this is not worth it. This is not
right.
Worth my, if I would have known that my communication between you and I one-on-one would be changed and I had to wait, this is not worth it. So I'd like to pose a question to you, especially in what she said and what I just said, is when you get married, that shift, because I think that is such a key. How do we help other women with that shift, that you had that one-on-one with God, and when you got married, there is a shift that he's going to talk to. It's almost like he talks to him first and then you.
If I'm understanding, Susie, I think one of the things that Kathy said, which I thought was so important, this man spoke into their marriage, and he spoke something positive. What if he had said, oh, boy, you're going to have a terrible marriage? You can imagine what that would have done for you when you were at a precipice, you know, in your relationship. And the pastor spoke into you and said, you know, you're going to have one of the strongest marriages. That's a big part of it, Susie Lane. You know, people speaking into your marriage, and you both can speak into your marriage. If you say to your husband, you know, you're having a disagreement or whatever, and you know your goal is to have a strong marriage, and you start speaking negative things into the marriage, starting talking about divorce and I'm going to leave you and I can't take you anymore, I don't like you anymore, I can't stand you anymore, you know, negative words like that, you're putting venom into your marriage. You're injecting poison into the marriage. Mm. And I always say that, you know, there's life and death in the tongue, and you're speaking death to the relationship. So sometimes the relationship starts really strong, you know, all romantic, all love each other, doing all the good things, doing all the right things. And then after a while, there's complacency. You get so comfortable, you start taking each other for granted. And one of the things I always tell couples, especially, you know, premarital counseling, I always say to the couple, if the husband or the wife, or when you get married and they start having a disrespect of you, that's the first indication that you're going to end up in trouble, when there's disrespect. So you say anything you want to say, anything comes out of your mouth, you just say it. That's big red flag. So you watch what you say, and because the Bible says that when you that's what you look at to measure where you're if you're drifting. Love is patient, is kind, is not jealous, is not boastful, is not proud, doesn't seek its own. So, you know, you don't keep no record of wrong, things like that. And those are the things you're going to use as a measuring stick. So when you start seeing those things waning, like, you know, then you know that your love life, something is going on, and Satan is entering into that relationship. When you just say anything to each other, not thinking about how you're hurting each other, you don't want to be around each other anymore, you're happier being by yourself. When he leaves the house, you're happier than when he's there with you, you know. Or let him hang out with his friends and I hang out with my friends. And there's not that unity. Now, that's not important, that you hang out with your friends and be with his friends. But when it becomes an excuse to get away, like one wife said to me, I hate going home. And when she would say it, it would like, oh, my gosh, why do you hate going home? I just don't want to be in the same space with him. And then, you know, you talk about that decay in a relationship. And if you keep, you know, it's just like a plant is dying. And, you know, and instead of trying to pour water on it to kind of revive it, or, you know, the topsoil to make sure it starts growing, you're literally depleting it. And what's going to happen is it's going to die on the vine. It's going to die. So whatever you can do to speak into your relationship, even when you say, you know, I don't love my husband right now because he's being so mean. You know, you tell yourself, you know, I'm going to choose to love him, even though he's so mean right now. I'm going to choose to be Christ. That's why the Bible says you win him over by his chaste conversation, by your chaste conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not only that for him to come to know Christ, but you win him over because you're speaking things that are positive into his life. So that's where we need to watch as a measuring stick. The measuring stick of our falling apart or falling away from each other is that scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think it is, 13. If we use that as our measuring stick, then we're going to know that even if we have divorced, because I've got a couple who are divorced and come back together, if they use that as a measuring stick, somehow, even though they're divorced or they use that scripture and say, okay, I'm going to be patient with him. I'm going to, even though he doesn't bring the children to visit me when they should or doesn't want to spend time with the kids or whatever he doesn't want to do, you know, that's not making you happy, or she doesn't want to do, then it's important that you use that as a measuring stick, the Corinthians verse, and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to choose today to love. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. It says, love your enemies. So even if you see the husband or the ex-husband as an enemy, then the Bible still commands us Christians, only Christians now, to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. Do good to those who despitefully use you, you know. And he says, and rejoice because, you know, so persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, yes, it will happen that you will find anger coming up and all kinds of feelings coming up inside of you because of the behavior. And this is not being idealistic. It's just making a choice. And watch it. I tell people all the time, you choose to not act the way your husband is acting or the wife is acting. And do the opposite and watch what happens. If the person really wants to do good and they mean you good, and you keep pouring good upon them, heaping coals of fire upon their head, I'm telling you, there's no way. If that person, unless the person has a heart of stone, they are not going to bend. So it's loving them to death. I keep saying loving him or her to death. And that's kind of how I approach it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
this is
meat. And you know, I'm getting texts that they're not, and I'm getting messages. And I don't know what the holdup is for you to not call in. That I don't understand. But it doesn't matter. The messages that are coming across right now are, I'm on my knees. That's one. The other one says, although I hurt, I hear you, and I haven't heard in a long time. The next one says, I've been listening to your show, afraid to come out. Please be patient with me. I hear you now. I hear God through you, lady. But my brokenness has me bound. And I want to have you speak to that. We got 1 minute. I want you to speak to my brokenness has me bound. My God.
Yes. I feel for you, my listener. I really feel for you because when you're hurting, you know, we talk about hurt people. When you're hurting, you feel like you want to hurt back. And so, but right now, he wants you to heal. And the biggest way to be healed is to start every day letting go. And the only way you can let go is let go of the guilt, whatever guilt you're feeling about the contribution you made towards that situation, and then let go of that person and literally leave them into the hand of God. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Do not wish the person any evil. It's hard. Let me tell you, it is hard to feel that way, but you can do it with the Holy Spirit. And as you said, stay on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Because literally, when you pray, God is going to stand in the gap for you. He's going to intercede for you. He's going to heal as you call out to him. He'll answer and show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. He will restore to you the joy. He's telling me, restore to you the joy of your salvation. And he's going to renew the right spirit, a right spirit within you. So we will pray. We will pray for you, sister or brother, that you will be healed even through this terrible time of hurt and pain. I hope that helps to answer your question.
Yeah, she's sending me the text now. She said that he walked in and she didn't know he was over her shoulder. God is good. I tell you what, this show, oh, my God, I'm literally in tears now. And I say to each and every one of you out there, I don't care if you don't call. We are going to continue to do what we're doing. And eventually your brokenness will no longer be a broken vessel. The brokenness will only be a little bit of a road map of where not to do go again. And the husband that walked in, and she said that he put his hand on her shoulder. Man, I'm sorry. But I say unto you, this is such a blessing. This show is such a blessing. We will not take back. We will not stop. You never know who's listening. This is First Lady's Blog Talk Radio, and the impact of this show is it breaks me every time when I listen back at the show. All I can say to the husband that put your hand on her shoulder, I want you to remember, and I'm going to let you search it out in the Bible, where there was a father that blessed his son. One of the things that I teach and I stand on, people tell us about generational curses, but they don't tell you about the generational blessings. And I want you to go with your children and your wife, and I want you to do one thing. I want you to cross your arms over on each other's shoulders. And I want you to cast off all generational curses in your marriage, in your family to come, your children to 1,000 generations. Then I want you to switch your hands and then put them on the shoulders again. And I want you to release generational blessings in the name of Jesus. Everything that God, that has been held up in the atmosphere, that it be released right now in this marriage, in this family, for every child, for your children's children. And we're going to even speak the blessings from behind us, pull them forth, and say, thank you, Jesus, for it's done. The part of my book that talks about that, and I want everybody to be aware of it. Sir, lady, I thank you so much for the opportunity to minister to you. Judith, I thank you for allowing your tongue to be the cover over the multitude of sins, over pain and the healing process. Lady Kathy, for being transparent. Lord God, I thank you. I tell you what, we're at the end of the show, and you know what, Judith, if you have time, maybe next Friday, or you tell me when you can, because we're going to have to keep, obviously this thing is hitting hard now. Marriage is so important that we have got to really work on it and in it, and we are willing. I've been transparent. I'm so transparent, naked that I share, so does the Lady Kathy. I thank you for joining us today. This is First Lady's Blog Talk Radio. Our time is up, and I'm glad it's up, because I don't want no more. We don't want to say no more words to uproot what has been blessed on you, a blessing on you. Judith, I'm going to have you close out and tell them about your book, but I'd like to thank our sponsors, Hands of Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. And any of you out there that are listening, you can actually call Marriages. Call us, 702-683-6373, 24 hours. And if you'd like to speak to Dr. Judith, we are Dr. Phil. That's why I call her doctor here. I will actually get her and you guys in contact, or she's going to give you her information. Also, Destined for Glory Ministries, which is Pastor Tony Howard and Lady Kathy Howard. I will put this stuff up on Facebook, the phone numbers, and I will put the information for you to contact us. I'm going to let you close us out, Judith, with your information, Lady Kathy, with your phone number of the church, and we'll go from that. We're at the end of the show. Go ahead, Lady Judith, please. Wow.
Well, thank you so much again for this opportunity, ladies. And it's Jude Hilton, J-U-D-H-Y-L-T-O-N at AOL.com. And the title of the book is The Faith of the Pastor's Wife. And you can get it through Amazon or preferably our Westville Press. Thanks so much again for this opportunity. And God bless you all.
Lady. Yes, ma'am.
God
Lady
bless
Kathy,
you. And our church is Destined for Glory at 6037. South Rainbow Boulevard, our phone number is 702-364-5679.
And the church is right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30 Pacific time. You can join us anytime. I'm right now, I'm so full, I'm so excited, I'm so happy that I see, and I see the people that are on our board right now. We're here. It's up to you. You can continue to text and write in, and I thank you for being able to answer your questions. Ladies, you have an amazing day. I thank God for you, and if the young people would talk to the old people and the old people would talk to the young people, it would be a better world and a better life. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much for talking.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.